Broadcasting live, it's the only national radio talk show on computers to air every weeknight. Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. The first hour's behind us, but there's still more of tech news, tech talk, and your phone calls. We're being beamed nationwide at ComputerAmerica.com. You got computer problems? Bring them on. You're listening to Computer America. Computers run the world, and we run computers. Call us or send us an email to live at ComputerAmerica.com.
Hello and welcome into hour two of the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. This is the Computer America Show, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
And I'm your co-host, Ben.
And if you missed the first hour, very interesting. Dr. Bernadette Longo, Associate Professor of Humanities at the New Jersey Institute of Technology, talking all about...
Yeah, we're worried that wouldn't go the hour. and really, you know, he was so instrumental to the development of the personal computer as we know it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, computer systems in general, that I'll be honest with you, I kind of knew that we'd be able to fit the entire man's life in more than, fit, you know?
Well, you know, again...
A lot of stuff happens in a man's life.
Yeah, it does. And it's interesting because you can, again, you can read the book. We have the links there at ComputerAmerica.com. That's up there as well.
And you know, that's almost motivational.
Yeah. You can. And
do you want your life story to be able to be finished in 45 minutes? No?
No.
Then go do something interesting.
Yes, exactly. You can listen to it again. We have archives of the show. Just go to our archives page at ComputerAmerica.com. And you can see this for yourself, and watch it and listen to it again. All right. It was interesting. So many of the things that he did were the precursors to how things are today. You know?
Seriously.
Yeah, very much so. Hmm. Okay. You want to move to our second hour guest? And
No, why don't we keep him waiting for about another, 15 minutes?
Okay, we can do that. We're
here for lunch.
We can do that.
No.
But yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that the iOS 9.1, they went to the default to the 6-digit PIN, but you can go into settings and say, you know, I want to go back to the 4-digit PIN, so you can do that.
I'll admit I didn't like it at first because, again, muscle memory, and you know, I still use my four-digit PIN.
Mm-hmm.
But after maybe about 2 days, like not even 2 days,
yeah.
I was able to expend the extra half second it takes to enter two more digits.
Yeah, but and you don't. You can go. Are you going to go back to the 4-digit PIN now that you know that you can?
Oh,
do
no.
That? You can leave it 6 digits. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole process only takes less than a second. So.
Well, if you use Touch ID, you wouldn't have to do it at all.
Okay. Good.
All right, well, let's talk about our next guest company, Jetico. And what they do is they provide military standard data protection software for all sensitive information throughout the life cycle. According to them, it's powerful yet easy to use. Their products are called BC Wipe and Best Crypt, and they are engineered for a wide range of users, from experts at large organizations to people at home, really. Now, here to discuss them with us is Jetico's CEO, Michael Waxman. Michael, welcome into Computer America. How are you?
Thanks, Craig. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yeah. We hear you fine.
Great. I'm waiting in suspense to hear what you had for lunch.
let me ruin that little surprise for you. Probably a burger.
Probably a burger.
Probably nice. A burger, yes. You sound fine. We can't see you at all, but at least we can hear you fine. So...
Okay.
So, Michael, why don't you explain to our listeners a little bit about Jetico and what it is that you do over there?
Sure. Well, thank you for the wonderful introduction, and also really thrilled to be here today with you guys. Thanks for inviting me. And yeah, we don't have the video because actually I'm sitting here in Finland. It's now 10 o'clock at night here.
So it's actually
quite
dark.
I don't think you want to see me at this hour.
It's quite dark. Okay.
Oh, so the sun went away. So the web. Okay.
Right.
I get
well,
it.
Here in Finland, the sun went away and pretty much does not come back until mid-January. So
oh boy.
That's, yeah, it gets dark very early this time of year, and the sun doesn't get up till late morning. Summers here are the opposite, which is fabulous.
You're based in Finland? You live there year-round, pretty much?
Right, and actually 2 days from today, October 29th, will mark 10 years for me living in Finland.
Wow.
I grew up in New York, Are you in New York? At least your area code looks like.
Yeah, we're in Eastern time zone. Ben's in Florida. I'm in the Carolinas, but we're on the west. We're on the East Coast.
All right.
And I think we're going to daylight savings time this Sunday. We go into we get out of daylight savings time, so it gets dark earlier.
Yeah, we switched here just this weekend, so we're a little bit ahead.
I will say though that you know we definitely have a lot of different people on the show from overseas. We seem to be getting more and more companies on over from Europe, but I'll be honest with you, an American to a European country is an oddity. Like that's really the first time that I've heard about it. Plenty of talent comes over to the U.S., but not a lot of talent seems to go over there. And you know,
well.
Take it the other way.
At least you haven't picked up a Scandinavian accent.
it depends. I'm talking with Americans. My brother likes to make fun of me, though, that sometimes I do sound like I forgot how to speak English properly. I pick it up a little bit sometimes if I'm speaking with locals. So.
Now I understand that the language there also is probably one of the most difficult languages to learn.
It is not easy. Language was actually one of my strengths when I was a student. Uh-huh. So I studied Spanish for many years, and I learned Finnish because I wanted to, but it's rare. It is very hard to learn. It's very different. It's totally isolated. It's like if a Finn and a Swede are in a meeting together, they have to speak English.
Wow.
Finnish is completely isolated
linguistically,
and it's definitely very challenging. I mentioned that 2 days from now will be 10 years here, and one of my proudest achievements was in January. I actually had I passed the language test because I wanted to become a citizen, so I'll be a dual citizen. And passing that language test was very difficult, but you know, eventually over time, I was able to learn it. What makes it so difficult, though, is sort of a funny thing about it is, despite the language itself being very hard, no one here actually speaks it. they all speak English too well. So that makes it nearly impossible to learn because everyone just wants to show off their English or practice it. So it's very difficult.
Just pretend like you're speaking it, and I'm sure if you do it with enough confidence, they'll just give you the license.
Right. I can say you know one word of Finnish, I'm sure.
What is that?
There's a hot wooden room where you throw water on some stones.
Sauna.
And you go to the gym.
Sauna?
Correct. That was invented in Finland, and that is a Finnish word.
You
speak one word of Finnish.
Well, you know, better with a one than none, I guess.
Right, yeah. You're on your way.
We're on our way, yeah, exactly.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about Jetico. And,
right,
you
sure. Of course. So just related to Finland as well. My background is not technical at all. I've always loved computers. My background, though, is more in marketing and communications and business management, whereas the Finns are, they're basically like a country of engineers. So what Jetico does, we develop, as you said, data protection, and that's really all we do, pure and simple. And that's really very much what I like about being in Finland and also working in Jetico is, while the people are very much, engineering focused, they're maybe not the best at promoting that technology and letting the world know that it exists and why it's useful. So that's kind of a nice niche that I found for myself here in this country where I feel I can help. So what's great about Jetico is just how we're focused purely on protecting your data on the endpoint, just complete endpoint data protection. A nice analogy I like to use about what we do is, if you can imagine that your operating system, it's like a messy, cranky baby. I have two small kids at home, so I've been pretty familiar with what that's like. And it's just, anytime you try to feed a messy, cranky baby their food, it just, it goes all over the place. It's on their face, on the walls, on the table. And that's exactly what your operating system is doing. Anytime you're editing files or moving them or deleting them, there's just this mess that's left all around, and our technology turns that messy, cranky baby into a clean, happy baby where anything that you want kind of locked up and safely tucked away, there's encryption for that. And then for cleaning up that mess beyond any forensic recovery, we have wiping software for that part. And that's everything we do. That's kind of what sets us apart from, we have competitors that are giants in the industry, like Symantec and McAfee, which is now Intel, companies like that. Then we run up against them head to head a lot. Whereas, so those companies kind of try to do everything under the sun in security. Whereas we're focused purely on protecting your data. And we've been doing that actually for a long time. We've been doing it now 20 years. And we've been pioneers in protecting data in a lot of different ways that maybe we can touch on today.
Exactly. There are so many ways of doing that, and I want to find out what techniques you use. Now, I understand you're not technologically into that, and we're not going to get into that. We're going to talk about some of the general things. We're not going to get into quantum encryption and all this stuff that is supposedly the future of encryption, data encryption. But we won't get into that because that's a ways off anyhow. At least that's what everybody wants to lead us to believe. You have two products, which is BC Wipe and BestCrypt. I'm assuming BestCrypt is the encryption product, and BC Wipe is the product that erases the information from your computer. Because when you delete a file from your computer, I think most people now understand that it really doesn't go away. The operating system says, okay, the space on which this data is still residing is now available to be overwritten eventually. But, if you have a multi-terabyte hard drive, and most of us these days do, I mean, you can get them from under $100 now. They're so inexpensive. It could be a long time before, if that data ever gets wiped, clean. It could just be sitting on your computer's hard drive for forever, really. Tell us a little bit about BC Wipe and what it does.
Sure. I suppose there's sort of two flavors, both of the on the encryption and the wiping side. So before I get to the wiping, just at least on the encryption part, at least actually on both sides, there's two tools that are BC Wipe and BestCrypt for each side. One that protects the entire computer, and one that protects selected files or selected data, on the active system. Mm-hmm. So on the encryption side, that's volume encryption, which is whole disk encryption, or container encryption it's like virtual drives for selected files and folders. Mm-hmm. Then on the wiping side, we have BC Wipe Total Wipeout that will erase the entire hard drive. And that's fairly simple and straightforward. Where we really shine is with BC Wipe that can erase selected files and selected data on an active system. And that's a much more sophisticated process, where we actually have a unique strength to erase selected data on an active system beyond any forensic recovery. And that's really where it's mostly been our, I guess, most famous product, at least historically. The encryption is becoming a lot more important, I'd say, within the past 2 years or so. Mm-hmm. But historically, wiping has really shined, especially with our customers in the national security space in the U.S. Mm-hmm. BC Wipe has been synonymous with securely erasing data throughout the U.S. Department of Defense for about 15 years now. So we're used pretty much by every agency in the armed forces in the U.S., all the top 10 defense contractors. So it's really widely appreciated for its strength, but also that it's very easy to use. As I said, I'm not very technical, but it's no problem at all for me to use it. You just basically right-click on a file and wipe it. There's, of course, a lot more where the experts appreciate it is there's a lot of ways to customize how that's done or where that's done or when that's done. Any questions?
What are some of the options? I mean, I figure you want to wipe something. When you actively use a product like BC Wipe and you want to take something off, you want to use the best possible method. Why would you want to use? There are options. You can wipe it differently or something. Why not just have one method to wipe it out completely? What are the options?
Well, it basically depends on, I suppose, your level of paranoia. Right. For someone that's just that's just concerned about their personal privacy with a laptop, where they're probably not being aggressively targeted by, three-letter agencies to recover their data, the default wipe setting is completely fine for you. If you're someone, though, who is targeted perhaps by a criminal agency or anyone that you could imagine that would have the resources and the time and the attention and money to really go after recovering that data, that's where you might go into using more advanced techniques to just to, without getting too technical, just to use stronger and more time-consuming, you know, mechanisms. So if you're someone who cares greatly about making sure absolutely it's gone beyond any recovery, then you might use some of the DoD wiping schemes, the more advanced mechanisms that would take more time, but time is secondary to the security.
Right. And there are DoD guidelines, you know, writing so many ones and so many zeros, so many different times over the same area to make sure that it's obliterated. Certainly, and of course, it takes a little more time because we're talking at great speeds, you know, today's processors and hard drives. But still, there are these guidelines that you can adhere to, and then you'll hear things. We've heard things. We've had experts on the show that say, you know, even if you use DoD, you know, there are super advanced techniques. There's something called ghosting, you know, and the data is still there. You may be
able to... They have a hard drive whisperer that comes in, does a little seance, and pulls it out.
Right, exactly.
They have ways.
There are ways. You know, I guess it's just you can only do what you can do and hope for the best.
I guess eventually, you know, you make it so hard that it's just really, you know, not worth their effort to get whatever data that's on there.
I guess that's the bottom line, is just making it so impossible to...
Sure. The other side of it where things can be more customized isn't so much in how the wiping's done. I think it's a lot of it is about when and to what type of files. Just all sorts of... the software has been made very flexible so that all sorts of different activities can initiate mm-hmm. a wipe. So there might be certain events... that you might want to make sure always trigger a wipe. Like for a basic user, they probably would just, when they want to really delete a file, they would just, in the moment, right-click and make sure it's gone. Whereas people that have maybe more secure operations, they could have certain timed tasks or every day that it's cleaning up mess. So a lot of it can be in there configuring how and when it's done, not necessarily of the strength of the wiping. One other point just about the usability of it with wiping is this messy baby story that I told in the beginning that led to one of our innovations that we're very proud of called transparent wiping. And for me, this really speaks to where really the mission of our company is not just making unbreakable data protection, but that the best security is, you know, data protection that works the way you do. So it's natural and transparent and doesn't interfere with your user behavior or is even totally invisible to you, that you can just continue working the way you normally do and the security takes care of itself in the background. So with transparent wiping, it's like having this messy, cranky baby, but you have a magic nanny, and the magic nanny just keeps everything clean for you while you work. so it would have been nice to have when my kids were smaller, yeah, just to have all that cleaning done automatically. Mm-hmm. That's just one nice thing where you can just, you know, you set it up once, basically just turn it on. And again, that's where for a basic user, you can just turn it on. For a more advanced user, you can configure which types of files it will or won't touch automatically, mm-hmm, or how and when it might run. But for a basic user, you just turn it on, and all that mess that might be created if you just hit the delete button or if you move the file from one location to another, uh-huh, or just basic actions like that, you don't even need to know that BC Wipe is there. It's just going to clean up all that mess in the background while you work.
That's good. You know, and for most people, that's all you need. It's going to take care of the housekeeping for it. You don't have to worry about the where's and wherewithals. Basically, it takes care of it for you. And that's, I think, for most people out there, that's going to be more than sufficient. Now, I want to turn over to we're talking about getting removing and wiping the hard drive clean, but then the real, I think, crux of the matter is the encryption product, which you call BestCrypt. Now, I understand there was a product out there called TrueCrypt, and it was discontinued. And can you tell us, who made TrueCrypt? What was that all about?
Let me know when you find out. Yeah, that was one of the mysteries of TrueCrypt. It was who was making it and why did it go away? Mm. Honestly, nobody knows.
Oh, that's comforting.
Yeah.
That'll bring me to a product right there. You know, I'll just put that.
Well, I mean, it's testament to just what they do, so that's good.
Okay. Sure. People liked TrueCrypt a lot for two main reasons. That, well, one, it was free. And, of course, who doesn't like something that's free?
Yeah.
Although, you know, when it comes to protecting your sensitive data, you might want to know mm-hmm. who's making it.
Yeah.
So I think trust is a big issue there. Mm-hmm. But people with TrueCrypt, they liked that it was free, but on the trust side, people liked that it was open source. So I think there's still a project going on where they were trying to completely vet the software and see if it had any backdoors. So that's been, I think I mentioned earlier that, well, historically, wiping has been the strength of our business over the past 2 years or so. Encryption has really come on strong, where it's become like a dinner table topic of, you know, what is a backdoor? And why is that something I should care about?
Right.
And so people like TrueCrypt, one, because it was free, and two, because they felt they could trust it because they published open source their source code. So they felt that they couldn't be hiding any kind of backdoor in there.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, and of course you don't want backdoors, especially something like when you're trying to encrypt sensitive data. Now, anybody using TrueCrypt, obviously your recommendation is to switch over to BestCrypt, and why is that? I think the answer is obvious, but I'm going to let you speak toward that.
Well, thanks, Craig. Well, first of all, it was discontinued, I think if you want something that's actively supported, mm-hmm. TrueCrypt's not really an option anymore, mm-hmm. Especially if you're using, you know, new operating systems.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple other, I think, free tools that some people have tried to write about, using a commercial tool, one, you know who's making it, and two, you can trust that the support is still there, especially like for Windows 8 or now Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been first to support the new operating systems, mm-hmm. Despite being, I guess, a smaller, lesser known company. We are always ahead. Maybe just we're a bit more agile that way.
Mm-hmm.
But for switching from TrueCrypt, yes, we're something you have to pay for, but I think that what you're paying for is that level of trust and that level of support. It's familiar for TrueCrypt users why we think we're the best option of any alternative for someone that has been using TrueCrypt. If it's the level of trust that you were concerned about, when TrueCrypt went down, we actually published our encryption source codes. So those are available on our website, and you can download them, check them out, and vet them. We also, unlike any other encryption company out there, we guarantee that there are no backdoors in our software. So I'm on record mm-hmm. stating that, and that's how it has always been, and that's how it will be, that the privacy of our users is paramount, that the only one who can access your data is you. So we make that promise to people.
And the way that works is because there's a key. What technique does BestCrypt use? So even though everything is open, the math behind it, I assume, is what really protects it, correct?
Right. What you're talking about, the real, I guess, the most important point in encryption is not always how it's done. I mean, ours is done, of course, extremely well, and it's very powerful, but mm-hmm. the authentication mechanism is always going to matter. If
sure.
if you have a weak password, or if you're trusting, perhaps if you're using like single sign-on and you're trusting mm-hmm. the operating system with your encryption authentication, those are all pretty big vulnerabilities that defeat the purpose mm-hmm. of using encryption.
Right.
So with BestCrypt, I think the most common mechanism is using a password. And I've written some blogs about, you know, how you create, good, long, and strong, but still memorable passwords. But if you don't want to use a password, you can use keys. There's some new innovations that we've brought out where actually you can use encryption from Jetico, using encryption for your entire hard drive, mm-hmm. where there is no password, where the key is stored on a separate device that's
right.
on your network, and as long as it can find that device on the network, it can authenticate. That's protection against a physical threat. So if someone steals your computer, if it's not on your network anymore, it simply won't authenticate and won't boot the computer.
Are you talking about some sort of a hardware device that plugs into somewhere on the network?
We don't provide any hardware. We're completely
okay.
electronic.
Just
to dip in a little bit technically, mm-hmm. This is a new innovation of ours that we call BestCrypt Base.
Okay.
And course, you can read more about it on the website. And part of the I guess the key part of the architecture is there's a key server. Again, we just distribute the software. What we've done is kind of cool. Are you familiar with what is a Raspberry Pi?
Oh, yes. Yes, very much.
Great. Great. So we've made it not only that it, of course, is secure and works well, but also that it's incredibly affordable. So the key server, we sort of our preferred setup is that you can just get a very inexpensive device like a Raspberry Pi, and that can be your key server. It's also very stealthy. You can hide it in the wall or in the ceiling, and you basically use a quick wizard that just takes a moment that creates that to become your key server, and computers that can find that on the network, they use that to authenticate. You can also have just a standard laptop or an expensive PC that would act as that key server.
Right.
So, for example, if you have basically a small or medium-sized office, that one of the laptops that you would use as your admin console for this for this product, that can also function as the key server.
Very interesting. So, if you're not on the premises, basically you can't you cannot access the data. And again, this is all part of BestCrypt, which again is from the company called Jetica. We're talking to Michael Waxman, who is the CEO of the company, located out in Finland.
To get a little political here, you know, not very much, but politics, technologies, they seem to be mixing more and more here in the U.S. Not sure how it is over there in Finland, but companies get busted every other month. You know, this three-layer agency made us make a backdoor into this account for, you know, all of your information into your operating system here, there, and there. Do you feel like, you know, being based in Finland kind of gives you to your credibility? Because you don't have to really answer to all these American stories.
What do you know about Finland?
Not but sauna.
Right, sure. But apparently something political. I'm just curious what you're aware of. I guess Finland does have, certainly when I'm back home in the U.S., or even just when we talk to customers, they do have an appreciation for Finland. I think Finland is a bit of an unsung hero out there with, I guess, the independence and trust and also the technical strength that Finland does offer. But since you mentioned it, definitely that's part of our guarantee, that there are privacy laws in Finland that protect us. So we cannot even be asked to put in a backdoor.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So there is a little bit of a political bent here.
Sure. Encryption has become very political recently, in the past, I guess, 2 years or so. And it's right. You know, we're appreciated by the political side as well, though. You know, we just provide a tool that protects data very, very well. And, you know, that's appreciated by, I guess, the authorities and the defense agencies and the political side, but also private individuals as well.
No, exactly.
Oh, and real quick, is this strictly for Windows, or which operating systems does BestCrypt and, you know, all these other services work with?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, good question. We are strongest on Windows, but we are compatible across all the operating systems. So, you know, you can use the encryption and the wiping on Windows, Mac, and Linux. So, yeah, that's definitely one of the, just to kind of bring it back a bit, I didn't actually maybe completely answer the question about why people would like to switch to us if they're using TrueCrypt.
Right.
One of the big strengths is actually the way our container encryption works is identical to TrueCrypt. That even the name itself, they basically copied us, and we more or less know that. we came first, and even just if you look at the names of our software, BestCrypt, you know, one word, capital B, capital C, TrueCrypt, one word, capital T, capital C. So they were very much, you could say, inspired by how we do encryption. And so that's one very strong reason to use us if you're still currently using TrueCrypt, is it works the same way. It's very familiar. So
Michael,
if you have a
That's okay. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll continue on with this, okay?
Thanks, Craig.
All right. You listen to the Computer America Show. Ben and I are talking to Michael Waxman, who is the CEO of Jetico. They make BC Wipe and BestCrypt. We'll continue on with them. We've got a new Tispel's review coming up as well. We'll be right back with Jetica right after this. Stay with us. Hi, this is Craig Crossman, host of the Computer America Show. You have important meetings to schedule. Your company's getting ready for its IPO, and you're in charge of the PTA fundraiser this month. So how do you coordinate everyone to be available at the same time? Are you still using emails, phone calls, even text messages to schedule meetings with a group of people? How's that working out for you? Not so great, huh? It's the fact that every day, millions of people suffer from scheduling headaches. Well, with Doodle, scheduling meetings with a group of people is quick and easy. With Doodle, you can easily propose available times to each member. Each one checks off the times that they're available, and then you simply pick the time that works best for the group, all in an easy-to-read display that integrates with your existing calendar. Nothing could be more simple. Give Doodle a try for free, and like millions of Doodle users, you'll truly see how easy it is to find the perfect day and time for all your meetings. That's www.doodle.com.
Doesn't anybody eat the pumpkin donuts? Oh, hi, Marty Winston with the News Tips Bulletin Review for Computer America. This time, the Bosch GLM50C Laser Measure. There's a lot to love in a compact gizmo that uses a laser to precisely measure distances, uses Bluetooth Smart to feed readings to a handset app, does enough trigonometry on angular geometry to indirectly measure oblique surfaces, measures area or volume, and more. The compact handheld Bosch GLM50C laser measure is also a level and can measure angles against vertical and add or subtract calculated measurements. Bottom line, the Bosch GLM50C laser measure isn't just a persistently precise alternative to a kit of traditional measuring tools. It's also the button-free calculator and pencil-free scratch pad you want to have, and a way to look up the results on your smartphone to save time and worry. Marty Winston, News Tips Bulletin for Computer America.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show. Sorry to miss past the hour here. Thank you, Marty Winston, for that. News Tip Bulletin's review. And by the way, if you didn't catch that, don't worry about it. It's going to be here all week long.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it. So, we are here with Mr. Michael Waxman. He is here, and we're talking about, Best Script, not True Grit. Best Script. And, right before the break, we were just starting to get into, why this is such a natural progression from TrueCrypt, which is, like you said, no longer being developed, to BestCrypt. And I saw that even on your website, if you go there, we have a link on our homepage to go find it. But right here, switching from TrueCrypt, And there's a simple link right there that, and, gives you simple steps to do just that. So, you guys really are, going after the old users of TrueCrypt.
Well, because they're they're orphaned. They're orphaned with this software. So exactly, Michael.
Craig was saying that they're orphaned now. So obviously,
we give them a home.
Right.
Yeah, it's as I said. They when people see our software and download it and use it, they're like, "Oh, this works really well, just like TrueCrypt." I guess that was the third reason people did like it. They said they liked it because it was free, which, we don't offer free, but I think we offer good value if you're willing to pay a little bit for it. It was open source, so they thought they could trust it, that it didn't have the back doors. We do offer that. And then people liked TrueCrypt because it worked. I mean, good security is secure, is good one that works. Mm-hmm. So we do offer that when people download it and try it, they'll see, this works just like TrueCrypt. So it's very easy. You just basically, drag and drop, and things are encrypted.
But then I think the nice thing that people can rely on, and this is true for anything that you pay for, is that you get a certain amount of support or technical support. If something, you have a question about something's operation, you...
Yes, but you have to learn Finnish, too.
Yes, the support is only in Finnish, but not... No, but the thing is that you have a place to go where you can get answers to your questions, whereas with TrueCrypt, it being open source and you weren't paying anybody anything to get it...
Take it to the phone.
Yeah, exactly. So
It's not only answers to questions. Also, we're something we, you know, just from the top down, that we really insist on is being responsive, customer requests and the needs of the customers. Thing, you know, we do pride ourselves on being very agile and developing things quickly. So it's not always just about that guarantee of being there to answer a question, but, you know, things change a lot. Operating systems and other tools that our software has to connect with and interact with, the cyberspace is always changing. And we learn a lot of our innovations from requests from our customers. So that's part of that guarantee as well, that we're not only answering the question, but if there's, let's say, a question that we can't solve with the way the tool is currently built, we're there to, you know, pretty rapidly respond by building the solution so that it works the way the customer expects it to.
Right. Now, Bruce Schneider, recognized as a cryptography authority, basically had a book in 1994 called Applied Cryptography, is an introduction to the use and the inner workings of cryptography. My understanding is that he actually recommends your company, Jetico. How do you feel about that?
Almost can't put it into words how wonderful that does feel. Bruce is a legend in the security industry. His name is perhaps even synonymous with security and security technology. He's really the kind of the grandfather of encryption. He wrote two of the, you know, the best encryption algorithms out there, Blowfish and Twofish. He's also written wiping algorithms. And what's great about Bruce that I really love about him is not only is he very strong technically with his skill, but just as a communicator about helping people understand and relate to security technology, he's wonderful with that. And he's, you know, been on CNN, and he's really a big spokesperson for security in general and a big critic of security. And having him, he's announced somewhat, I guess it was a couple months ago over the summer, where he said in an interview that he trusts us. Not only is he a user of our tools and has certainly written about them in the past, but this question of trust is so big in encryption, and people trust him, and him saying that he trusts our encryption and he trusts our company to protect his data, that it's an enormous compliment and also enormous value, and he's been a good friend to us. But also I think people like Bruce and people like him, they should appreciate what we do. I think I think we do as much as what he means to us or companies like us as a sort of a celebrity giving us that type of endorsement. I think we mean a lot to people like him as well, that we're out there as a technically capable, trusted entity.
Have you ever met him?
Yes, I have. It was a real pleasure to meet him. We've met online a couple times, but we didn't meet in person. We were both at an event once. We had been trying to meet each other a couple times, but we both travel quite a lot.
Couldn't
but
get him out.
Cross paths for the first time this spring.
Couldn't get him out to Finland.
hopefully soon. I think he does a lot of remote speaking now more. But I'm trying to get him to Finland. There actually, believe it or not, there was a couple of years ago. There was an occasion when he was in Finland, but I was actually in the U.S. then. So I missed that opportunity when he was around.
Of all the times, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think he's a native New Yorker like I am also, but he now splits time in Minnesota and Boston. But yeah, he's just wonderful. We're of course happy to kind of support and endorse him as well. Just his writing, he has a new book that came out about data and trust. I think it's called Data and Goliath. I think it's the most successful book on security technology ever, I think, on Amazon sales, I think. He's a really a wonderful personality and a wonderful source of learning about security technology, and it means really everything to us that he likes and uses our software and is willing to share that with other people that he trusts us.
Right. That is always nice to get those kind of endorsements, albeit, you know, unsolicited endorsements, which basically means that he really feels good about your product. And obviously, being who he is,
Because it's one thing for someone to say, hey, I really like this. This is a really nice product. But then for someone who actually knows what's going on behind the scenes and actually knows mm-hmm. just what you're doing and says, you know, you guys are doing it really well. I guess I can totally see where that means. You know, where that actually makes a big difference.
Yeah, he's an authority on encryption.
Right.
And to have him say that about what he says about your company is certainly something that's very, very good. Now, let's talk a little bit about I know people out there, and again, most of our listeners are fairly technically savvy, but, you know, some are new, and we certainly welcome them. And then we say, well, you know, I have an antivirus product, or, you know, I have malware, but, you know, why do I need an encryption product? What would your response to those people be?
Well, that'd be very silly. It's kind of like if you have, you have a front door and a side door and a back door to your house, and you only lock one of those doors. You're not really doing everything. It's important to have network protections, but that's really only protecting the perimeter. And I think that we're aware of people out there called hackers. Mm-hmm. So hackers do exist. Right. Networks are penetrable. There is no such thing as a impenetrable network. People get through networks, or people make mistakes, or all sorts of things. And encryption and wiping, data protection, that's really your last line of defense, that we put the protection mechanism right on the data. So if and when people do get past your perimeter, past your network defenses, if they do get through, they'll get inside your network or onto your system, but if they get a hold of your data, it's nonsense to them. Or in the case of wiping, it's simply not there anymore, where they would maybe dig for it. So it's really just your last line of defense, mm-hmm. and without it, you're basically just ignoring an enormous vulnerability.
You're saying it's your last line of defense, but shouldn't it also be your first line of defense too, encryption? I mean, really?
Sure. Why not? Yes, I agree. But although at the same sense, if I had only data protection and no firewall and no antivirus, that would also be rather silly. So I think it's part of just sort of setting up a new computer. I've written about this as well, that I recently, I guess about a year ago, had to replace my computer at work. And I do work for a security company, but I was still curious, just internally with my engineers, what's the best way to go about doing this to make sure, I'm really doing this in the safest way? When we got our first computers, maybe 10 years ago, the first thing we cared about was what's our desktop image going to be? Which fancy car we're going to put there or something. But now it's very much about making sure that new computer is secured. So when you get a new computer, you want to make sure that you have antivirus on there, that you have a firewall on there, that you have a good one. And also that before you put any data on there, that you have encrypted that hard drive, or that you have encrypted containers where you can put, selected files safely stored. That setting up your data protection is absolutely essential when you're, using a new computer or migrating to a new computer.
All right. Well, now obviously you're in the heart of this industry and doing what it is that you do. Can you speak to our list a little bit about any other challenges that you might see for this industry, this particular part of the industry that you could speak of?
Sure. I think it's actually kind of very obvious. The thing is that our endpoints are changing. We used to just have computers in the form of laptops and desktops and servers, but now computers are, in the palms of our hands, in smartphones and tablets, and these are new devices that have different operating systems, different ways of storing memory, different types of programs, and that's a challenge for the entire industry.
Yeah.
Even the giants in our industry, like a Symantec or others like them, it's still a very new field that we are fighting to protect with new and different mechanisms. So that's an enormous challenge for the whole industry, is how do we protect data, or just how do we secure these new devices with all sorts of new problems.
So how are you trying to overcome them, then, I guess?
Well, we're building. So we do have a beta of BestCrypt's, our encryption. We have a beta out on Android. Mm-hmm. So that's certainly step one. There's a problem that I would guess people are not very familiar with that I'm really digging into now, where on the wiping side, where on traditional computers, you know, with rotary disk, or, you know, hard disk drive, mm-hmm. You could reliably know where data resides and reaccess it when you want to overwrite it. But smartphones and tablets and even smaller laptops now use SSD, solid-state storage.
Sure.
And that is, I'm wondering whether you've heard about this problem or not, but you basically cannot reliably reaccess data on solid-state storage, on SSD. The data is constantly in motion, and there's not this this sort of mapping of knowing where that data is. So wiping a selected file on solid-state storage is an enormous problem. It basically isn't functioning right now.
Mm.
Have you heard of that?
No, I had not heard that. I know data is stored differently and on solid-state drives, and you need special software to deal with that. On that particular level, no, I did not realize that the data is actually shifting or moving, as you're so describing.
Right, and this is basically an industry-wide problem, and there's problems not only with the erasing of data, but also with digital forensics when you want to recover data, and also some other data protection challenges. And at least in our base, people that do care about security, they resist switching to solid-state storage because of this problem. So actually, there's an industry association that I've become involved with for 2 years now, trying to solve this as a whole through better standards in that industry. It's SNIA, S-N-I-A, Storage Networking Industry Association.
Mm-hmm.
Really a lot of wonderful people out there from other companies that do erasure, great companies that do data recovery, and then the storage companies, the manufacturers themselves. And so we've created this industry action group that we are now really getting rolling, trying to help the industry as a whole solve this with better standards and make SSD, which is working in smartphones and tablets primarily, make that function the way the user expects it to, the way traditional hard disk drives work today. So basically it's a community-wide effort to make that real so that, you know, I think as users, we expect that nowadays we expect that any device we pick up has at least a lot of the same, maybe not all, but a lot of the same capabilities. And that's really one that's lacking going from hard disk drive to solid state storage, mainly in a smartphone and tablet. So we're part of this group and we're just getting rolling now. I think it's called the Data Recovery and Erase Group in SNIA. We're bringing together, you know, all the industry leaders in trying to solve this as a whole. It probably takes a little time still, but we are doing what we can.
I think it is a general consensus that solid-state storage is probably going to eventually replace magnetic storage because, first of all, it's becoming so much more affordable. And all magnetic drives will be used for maybe, you know, like they're using tape drives now where you have massive amounts of copious amounts of data to be archived. You can use them for that. But and then unlike the tape drives, you'll have random access. So you'll still certainly have that with hard drives. But I think in the next 5 to 10 years, personal computers are pretty much going to be solid state drives.
Seems to be what consumers like.
It seems because they're so much faster.
Sure.
They have so many. There's so many positives in their favor. It's just that and as costs are coming down, and they are. I mean, we just announced a few. You know, what was it about a month ago? A solid state drive now. What was it? 4 terabyte solid state drive introduced by
Something like that. Something from Samsung.
Samsung, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And although that it's kind of pricey, again the prices are coming down. Certainly, the 1 terabyte solid state drives are coming down even more quickly because of these larger drives. Basically, they're mimicking what happened with the rotating platters. You know, as the prices fell down.
They announced a 15 terabyte.
A 15 terabyte. Yes, even more. You know, so we're going to see this happen, and obviously, companies like yours are positioning themselves to be prepared for that. because eventually most people are going to have solid state drives. I mean, they're like so much faster. And the only thing that's holding them back is the cost, and that cost is dropping, and the capacities are growing, you know, like anything else. So in the next 5, 10, 15 years, it sounds to me like you'll be ready.
Right. That's something I think historically that's something we've done where, you know, when these new operating systems or other new types of hardware have come along, that's something we do really pride ourselves on is being ready. Unfortunately, in the past, with those other problems we've solved, we've been able to do them independently by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of working in a bubble, solving it ourselves. With what makes the solid state challenge unique is that we need to solve it as basically as an entire community.
And
we need to work, you know, with partners. And
sure.
What's amazing about SSD is, you know, as I've gotten more familiar with that industry lately, they're even data centers will be entirely SSD.
Yeah, again,
it's phenomenal how rapidly that has evolved.
I agree with you completely, and I think that just goes toward, you know, what I said further, that basically it's all going to be solid state. And again, it sounds to me like you're going to be ready for that. And because these problems you're talking about are problems, but they're all solvable. You're not up against the wall that can't be solved. You know.
Agreed. And it's not only about everything being solid state. Mm-hmm. As I said, it's that I think laptops and desktops, as we know them, those are also going to go away eventually as well. We're all just going to basically have screens, and the operating systems are changing. The way our endpoints exist right now are going to be very different in the future, and it's critical that we are, you know, anticipating those kind of seismic shifts, and that we're ready to deliver what our users need from us, whatever the endpoint becomes.
We got that. So
you're also of the mind that eventually people are just going to be using terminals.
We got about 5 minutes left, Michael. What can we expect to see from Jetico in, let's say, the next 12 months?
Sure. Well, I guess first, before we get too far ahead of the next 12 months, just this month already is this is Cybersecurity Awareness Month,
right.
October,
yeah.
And we support that in a number of ways. There's a blog that I've been contributing for a couple years now for the National Cybersecurity Alliance in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
And they do a wonderful job of just trying to raise awareness about cybersecurity, educational tools. This week, their mission is promoting careers in cybersecurity. That's something here in Finland I care a lot about as well. That you guys probably know about Angry Birds.
Yeah.
So Angry Birds is another Finnish invention.
Yeah, yeah.
So in Finland, there's a lot of great technical talent, but there's, I guess, a bit of a challenge between the security industry in Finland and the gaming industry, and a bit of a fight for that talent of which path they take.
Mm-hmm.
And the gaming industry is certainly more attractive, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But enticing people to develop a career in cybersecurity is really, really important for the future. And that's the focus this week of Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So I have a blog that will be published tomorrow, actually, just trying to help people get excited about a career in cybersecurity. So that's the immediate of what's next. Down the road, I touched a lot already. We talked a lot about mobile devices. We have that's very much the future of our company is securing the mobile device.
Mm-hmm.
And our first step towards that is Bestcrypt on Android, which is in beta, mm-hmm. right now. And just more and more development on the mobile side is huge. The other part that's very much in our future is, we are a Finnish company, but most of our business actually is in the U.S., and we are right now working to develop better customer support in the U.S. to be closer to our customers. I guess historically our users have mostly been quite technically savvy, where we've been able to handle the support pretty well, I guess, remotely. But as we have more users, especially in the compliance market, people that need us, to protect healthcare data or financial data, people that are not maybe inherently built on using security and don't really like security, they just have it to check a box. They have there's a bit more of a burden for supporting those customers. So that's very big for Jetico in the future is building our customer support operation in the U.S.
Okay. Well, again, the website again is Jetico, and the website is www.jetico.com. Or you just go to computeramerica.com. We have a link to the Jetico website right on our homepage at computeramerica.com. It's easy to find, and you can visit their website and check them out for yourself. Certainly something that you definitely need to be aware of if not already. And if you were using TrueCrypt, well, you heard the man. You need to move over to BestScript for all the reasons that we outlined. Michael, I want to thank you.
Real quick, we didn't cover pricing of these products.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, good. Yeah, thank you. How much is BestScript and how much is BC White?
Sure. Well, actually, if you buy the BestScript container encryption, that comes with BC White built in, and that is now for $59.
Okay.
So if you get the whole package with the volume encryption, that's $119 or $120. We are running a promotion right now, though, because it's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So you can get the, for protecting whole disks at least, our whole disk encryption and or the whole disk wiping, that's our volume encryption, or BC Wipe Total Wipeout, that's now 50% off.
Wow,
so,
very good.
For cyber. So if you come to our website, now you can get the whole disk data protection, encryption, or wiping for 50% off. And if I can have a last word, I mentioned earlier that I'm from New York. I'm a very proud Mets fan. And tonight it's game one of the World Series. And it's equally joyful and also frustrating that I'm not in New York right now with friends and family to cheer on the Mets. But let's go Mets.
All right. Absolutely.
Well said.
Yes. Michael, thank you so much for being with us here on the show. Again, you can check them out at jetico.com. The products are there. They're downloadable. You don't have to go and buy the box, you know, at a brick and mortar store. You can, but it's easiest just to download them from your website. And thank you for being here with us. Very, very interesting. And certainly we'd love to have you back again. Okay?
Yeah, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Michael,
I can't wait to see you out in Finland.
There you go. Okay, take care. Have a
good one.
All right,
you
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye. All right, there you go. Again, Michael Waxman, again, CEO of Jetico, jetico.com, the website, and you can check them out for yourself. Interesting show, really. We had the New Jersey Institute of Technology on the program in the first hour and talking about Edwin Berkeley, a little history, a little behind the scenes. It's always nice to know that stuff. And then, again, finishing it off with Jetico.
It was a very information day.
Yeah.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. I do so. Coming up tomorrow in the first hour of the show, we're going to have ProSoft on the show. Greg Brewer is going to be here with. He's been on the show before. We're going to talk about their product called Drive Genius Data Rescue. Data Rescue One. This for people you know who you your hard drive has crashed and they have the techniques to get that data back. From ProSoft Engineering. We're going to have him on. Oh. And then in the second hour of the show, Dick DiBartolo, the Giz Whiz, Mad Magazine's maddest writer, going to be joining us, talking about all the fun stuff that he finds on the Internet for us. Just a fun guy and fun topic. So he'll be with us in the elf because it's the last Wednesday of the month. And thanks to all of you so much for being here with Ben and I here on the show. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. So until tomorrow afternoon, this is Craig Crossman hoping that your hard disk never becomes floppy. See you tomorrow afternoon.
Have a good one, everyone.
Ha, ha, ha.